We've been following a theme this month, the church. You know, that means different things to different people. Jesus said, I will build my church. Yeah. So it's not our church, it's his church. Yes. It's not something we invent or create, it's his church. I want to read a passage I believe we read on the first Sunday of this month, setting the scene from Acts chapter 2. In the New Living Translation, and this is what it says. It starts off with a really positive, I mean, the words the believers form a community, I think the editors have added that. It's not in the ancient Greek or Aramaic, but it's there. The believers form a community. All the believers in the beginning of the church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared their money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, and all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So we're talking about church. And I guess the thing for today is why church? Why church? You know, what's the big deal? Why do we spend hours every week gathering with people who are different to us, and when we could just as easily fill our time with social events or devouring what's our favourite social media junk food? Why get up early in the morning in Canberra? I love the cold. I absolutely love the cold, but some of you don't. And get out, get dressed, leave the security of the cave and head to church. It takes effort. It takes commitment. We don't like that word commitment. When there are lots of other priorities, there are lots of other things that we could be doing and would maybe, you know, and coming to a place where for a period we expose ourselves vulnerably, we open up our hearts to things that are going on in our lives, and it's a place where we can be honest with one another but expose what's going on in our lives. But why do we do it? What's it all about? This is not just another lecture on ecclesiology. I want us to dig deeper than what we might otherwise. What's it about? If we can work from home, why can't we do church from home? Fair enough. Yep, good enough question. I came across an ad for a non-church, virtual church site yesterday and said this. Attending church online together is an excellent way to fellowship, worship, and study God's word. And my reaction to that is a theological word. It's called bunk. It's simply not true as the norm. Yeah. And now sometimes, you know, things happen in our lives, and COVID's a good reminder of that, that we couldn't meet together individually, physically. But there's something very special. And today I just wanted us to be reminded of why it's important and finish up with some what I think I want to leave as some practical tips. But first of all, what is church? The believers form a community. Verse 42 starts, and the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Now, I think over the years people have looked at this passage in Acts 2 and said, well, that's how we have to do church. There were things that they did there that were not done in the Gentile churches in the early church. This was the church in Jerusalem, where they came together, and over a period there was great diversity in the church. I want to shout out today to my friends who are Eastern Orthodox or Oriental Orthodox who are celebrating Palm Sunday. This is the week of Easter for them. And next Sunday they'll celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We're all different. And yet church is not about the differences. Church is about the community that we experience. Church, it's more than just a model or a building, or a brand name. Capital Edge Church, that's our brand. That's the team I play for. Or really, the full name, Capital Edge Community Church, because we are a church that reaches out to our community. That's our name. But church is more than that. It's a place of freedom. It's a place where we can gather together. It's a place where we can praise and worship God together. That doesn't in any way replace the need to be worshiping God and talking to Him and growing in Him individually. But when we come together, we celebrate together. And so we are the church. We are the place where God lives. It's a place where we can have freedom and experience what it means to be part of the body of Christ. When I come on a Sunday, I say, well, here's an opportunity for teaching my head and training my heart and equipping my hands to serve God. Do you like that? I made it up. A place for teaching my head, training my heart, equipping my hands to serve God. A place for some of us who will find encouragement and comfort where we need it. A place where we can encourage one another because we all need encouragement. I need encouragement. You need encouragement. We need teaching. We need mentors. We need fathers and mothers in the faith. We need people who are gathering with us so that we can grow together. Yeah. It's a place of companionship. I love that word companionship. Literally means having bread with. That's why, you know, have a pie, have a sausage roll. Go early enough in your connect groups to have something to eat, because that's companionship. When we face the complex issues of life, and we face it as Christians with one another, we all need that relationship. Church is a place where we can be open to discipleship and express the gifts that God has given each one of us and express the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because we are not cessationists. That's a theological word, which implies that God doesn't do things like He did in the first century. But we believe that God is alive today. We believe that the Holy Spirit is moving today. We believe that the Holy Spirit is giving gifts to the church, and this here and in our home groups and the youth group and other gatherings together, we can exercise the gifts that God has given us. Church is a place where we can feel that restoration in our souls that we all need from time to time, when we get battered, when we get knocked over, when disappointments come, when illness comes. An opportunity for discipleship and growth together, and also an opportunity to be involved in God's great mission for the world. We live in a complex, difficult world facing all kinds of problems, and I believe that, and I've been in churches all around the world, that there is nothing like the people of God gathering together, celebrating Jesus. There is nothing like it. There is no social group like it. There is no religious group like it, where we can come and we can center our lives on Christ, where we can grow in our relationship with Christ and experience the very real power and presence of the Holy Spirit, where we can be sustained by the Word of God. And if you're not taking notes, I'd encourage you to. You know, we're on a roller coaster, not a cable car. So it pays to keep some notes that you can refer to later on. We talk about coming into the presence of God. Well, we don't come just to be in the presence of God, because when we're on our way, we're already in the presence of God as Christians. But when Christians get together and the love and the life of God and the presence of God corporally is experienced, there's something that is amazing that occurs in our lives and helps us to grow as Christians. So when I think about all this, I think, well, you know, there's a few keys. I just want to talk about three keys that I believe that, you know, it partially answers the question, why church? And then I want to give you a few little short tips. Tips from Pastor Al. Okay, you can put them on your fridge or not. The first word is fellowship. It comes from a Greek word, koinonia, you know, God's people in dynamic relationship together. How do I understand fellowship? Well, my father used to say, well, it's like fellows in one ship. we're all in it together. We're different, but God brings us, the Holy Spirit brings us into partnership and unity in Christ. Now turn to the person beside you and say, you are not me. Okay? We're all different. And I was sharing with somebody the other day that some of you may have heard me remark this in a sense of honesty, that I looked in the mirror the other day and I saw a couple of extra lines and I thought, they don't make mirrors like they used to. That you are not the person beside you. You're an individual. You're a man, you're a woman, created in the image of God to know Him and love Him and experience Him and experience Him in fellowship and in relationship with other men and women made in the image of God and filled with the Spirit of God. There's nothing like it. We share a common DNA because what we have stems from a relationship with the Son of God who lives in us. What do we believe? The Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. And that one simple declaration from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, is what binds us together. The Son of God lives in us. And that cuts across ages and cultures and formats and styles that may appeal and styles that may not appeal. You don't have to like every style. We're not called to love the style. We're called to love one another. And it's a place where we can come and you don't have to fake it. For me, church has always been a safe place where you don't have to fake it to grow as a Christian and to be influential as a Christian. But you've got to be involved. Yeah. Let me give you an illustration that occurred to me recently. Two weeks ago on Saturday night, Nita and I walked up to the Accor Stadium in Sydney. I don't know anything about football, and I'm sure that anything that John Mann tells me about football, I will believe. But what an amazing game. The Rabbitohs against the Sharks. Now, without being political, I know the Prime Minister likes the Rabbitohs, South Sydney. So, 82,000 people in the stadium. Can you imagine? I heard the roar going up and I said to Nita, sounds like the Colosseum. Another Christian has just been fed to the lions. There was so much excitement. It was an infectious kind of excitement. It was a great game. And I was talking to a young man afterwards and I said, how did you like it? And he waved his flags and he said, the Sharkies won. I thought, well, that guy's got his priorities. Now, I want you to know, just between us, there's a subtle difference here. We were standing outside the stadium. We could hear the commentary. We could hear the crowds. We were going somewhere else. And we saw people going, it was a great game. And we talked to people afterwards and it was a fantastic game. we're standing outside, but we didn't enter in. And I have seen so many Christians seeking to grow in the Christian life, but not being willing to enter in. Going from queue to queue. Deciding, where's my seat? Do I belong? Maybe I'll stay on the outside. Maybe I'll stay on the edge. I can sense the excitement. I'll feel something of the emotion of the moment. But as for entering in and participating, that's not me. Well, and just as Anita and I could feel the sense of it, but not really be part of it, it was fake in that sense. I got really excited for the outcome, but we didn't experience it. And I just want to encourage you to enjoy that sense of fellowship, that sense of koinonia that we have as the people of God. We can celebrate together, but you have to enter in to experience it. You have to go in through the door. You have to take your seat. You have to take your place. Get involved, heart, soul, mind, strength. Worshiping God together, it's the only way that you'll really grow. So we come together. We worship God together. We experience the wonder of the Lord's Supper together, which is what the church in Jerusalem is doing. We celebrate the privilege of the body of Christ together over coffee or a pie outside afterwards or in our home groups, physically, intentionally getting together to experience what it's like to be fellows in the one ship. You like that? Well, let's do it. The second thing that strikes me when I think about the church and our role in the church today is the privilege of discipleship and growth. You and I are designed to grow. As you know, you may be a new Christian, but you're designed to grow. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I was talking to one of my friends this morning, and he said, "I come here, and there are some things I don't understand, but something happens, and I enjoy it." In the Romans sessions in the afternoon, and today's the last, 5:30 this afternoon, week four. And even though there are things you don't understand or there are some things that are a bit of a mystery, just by coming and getting involved, you're growing.
Yeah, that's right.
You'll grow. And after a while, it'll become second nature. You know, I've spent time in one of my old jobs on a posting in the Middle East in refugee camps. I've seen people malnourished because they haven't had enough food or they haven't had the right kind of food. I meet people who are also malnourished because they subsist on junk food that are empty calories. But God doesn't want us to be feeding on something that's not helping us to grow. He wants us to grow and to flourish. God wants you to grow and to flourish and be a strong Christian, a man or woman of God who know Christ and can be part of his outreach to the world in which we live today. God wants you to flourish through daily devotion and prayer and worship together and hearing and explaining and learning and reading the word of God together. Church is a place where you can grow. And where your family can grow, where your one-on-one human personal relationships can grow together, whether it's in a connect group, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon if it's on, Kids Way, youth group, anything else that we do as a church. And I think one of the ways that we grow is because if we're open to one another, we can be giving and receiving wise counsel and safety and support and love and encouragement with everyone functioning in the call that God has placed on our lives. So after Anita and I enjoyed the football game, not, because we walked, you know, we left as one side or another, probably the Sharks gained another goal. We went to a concert, possibly one of the, well, definitely one of the best cello players in the world. But it was a contemporary concert with cello. It was amazing. I'm so glad that I didn't say to Anita, well, yeah, I don't feel like it. Let's watch it on screen later on. Let's turn on the TV at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon and we'll watch the concert there. No, you've got to be there. We were there. We experienced it. We experienced it, and it was dynamic. It was alive, and just watching the individual players not competing against one another, not contrasting themselves with one another, but playing their parts, whether the trumpet, or the trombone, or the percussion, or the vocalist, or the guitar, or the cello, each one with special gifts, not trying to outdo one another, not being disappointed in one another, and not being puffed up because they're the best of the group. How many of you remember Aesop? Well, I don't because he died a while ago. But Aesop wrote a whole lot of stories. And one of them, who remember Aesop's story of the bullfrog that blew itself up? Come on, where have you guys been? I learned that at school. So the frog comes to his kids and says, I saw the biggest animal in the world. Oh, Dad, what was that? He said, it was the biggest animal in the world. He was this big. No, he's bigger. So he breathes in and is trying to make himself as impressive as the bullock, and he blows himself up. The lesson is, don't get puffed up. Be who you're called to be. Don't try to be someone else. Otherwise, you'll explode. The third thing that stands out in the context of this passage here, and it's written into the passage we read, is that as Christians we are Christ to the world. We are Christ to the world. Now I'm going to be controversial just for a second. I know that for historical reasons and cultural reasons, there are some churches today that don't like to use the word Christian. I've been in cultures where people don't like to use the word Christian because of all of those associations in the past. I think that's missing half the point. And I'll tell you why. If the word Christ means anointed, Acts 10 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power, with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. That's Christ. Christ or Messiah means anointed. We are Christians. We are also anointed. We are many models of Christ. Get that? We are many models of Christ in the world in which we live. You say, well, you know, that's putting yourself on a pedestal. No. I put myself on the foundation of who he is, and he calls me to be his representative, calls you to be his representative, anointed by the Spirit of God, operating missionally in the world in which we live, filled with the Spirit and able to touch the world around us by his transforming presence. And that's the call of God in each and every one of our lives and collectively as a church, to be missional, whether it's through the Care Hub or through missionaries who are supporting different parts of the world, to become like Jesus. What is it? To know God, to become like Jesus, and to make a difference. You can see it every Sunday morning and remind yourself when you come to church. Whether in your workplace or your cultural networks or your friendship circles. Now maybe, I love hanging out with the Reinhardts, Sean and Siobhan, and I had an opportunity to visit them a few months ago in Uruguay. And I think, you know, God raise up other men and women from our church to go into the world. Raise up missionaries, raise up Christian leaders from our church. And watch this space, because we'll be talking about some opportunities that are coming up here later on in the year. But I have a role in our national missions, the missions side of our movement. And we've been excited recently to launch internships. And what we're saying, young person, maybe you've just finished your first degree, we want you to come to the mission fields for 6 months, just for 6 months. Make a commitment of 6 months and just be involved and learn what it is, what it's like to be a missionary to reach the world for Christ. There are lots of opportunities. So that's church. Why church? Well, let me tell you why. Here are my tips as to why I think church is really important to each and every one of us today. How is coming out on a cold winter's morning going to help me to grow in my faith in God? How is coming and sitting on a black seat and following the musos up on the stage, the worship leaders up on the stage, and listening to a message every Sunday, how's it going to help me? So as we conclude this month of focus on the church, I just want to share a few of my top tips about why church works in a constantly changing culture. Okay, number one. If you get seriously involved in church, it's going to help you to keep yourself in the love of God. The Bible says, keep yourself in the love of God. You will never experience the love of the Father in quite the same way as we do when we do it together. I love spending time with the Lord. I love praying and just, you know, knowing that as a Christian, I've got a relationship with Him. He's my heavenly Father. I no longer have an earthly father, but I have a heavenly Father. But you'll never find the ability and the urge to keep yourself in the love of God to the extent that you will as we encourage one another and cover one another with the Father's love. And, you know, when you read the Bible, the command that we have, the greatest commandment, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. And that verse and that command was given in the context of community. If you get seriously involved, it will help you to hold fast to your relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot grow as a Christian if you remain outside the stadium. You will not grow. Okay, you can disagree with me on that. Every person Jesus called, he called publicly. Every person who followed Jesus did so in the context of community. And growing in Christ is always in the context of community. It's not about the scintillating message. It's not about the awesome worship. It's about the awesome Savior. And if you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ and grow in your love for Him, do so in the context of His church. And so belonging enables you to fulfill your purpose and experience what it means to be a follower of Jesus in our complex world. Number three, if you get seriously involved in church, it will help you to remain being filled with the Spirit. Now, you can disagree with aspects of that, but think about the coming of the Holy Spirit. After Jesus went back to heaven, He came to fill men and women and transform them and empower them, and it was always in the context of community. Always in the context of community. Get to know the Holy Spirit. Practice listening to Him. What is He saying to you today? And as we do life with experienced Christians or younger Christians, it'll help you to grow in your relationship with Him and in your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and establish you in your Christian life and establish you in your word, in the Word of God. The Bible talks about, you know, the spirit of revelation and the knowledge of Christ. You'll have that as we come together to church. If you get seriously involved in church, number four, you will make deep and abiding relationships with the family of God. Now, I was thinking this week, you know, my first great ministry at church. I was a teenager, I was 15, and I was going to a growing church in Brisbane. And one day I just went and plonked myself at the front door. And for the next 3 years, I stayed at that front door. I'd greet people enthusiastically. I'm sure I broke a few bones, you know, among people who would walk away, you know, feeling injured because I'd greet them enthusiastically. why did I do it? Because these amazing people were my spiritual family. These amazing men and women, ordinary people, were my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just want to encourage you, get involved. Don't just come to be and to go. Get involved. Let me reassure you this morning, there is no lucky door prize just for turning up. We don't come for the lucky door prize. We don't wander from queue to queue like the people outside the Accor Stadium. We have a relationship with one another because we want to enter in and experience it. I think there are too many spectators in churches around the world today. Millions of spectators. Once when we were living in the Middle East, I went to a pillar, what was remained of a pillar, where a guy called Simon sat on the top of the pillar for 37 years. Now, we don't have pole sitters today, but they were pretty popular in the early Oriental churches. 37 years he sat on top of this pillar and they'd send him up food and I don't know what happened at the other end of that food chain, but surrounded by people day after day. Everyone else came to watch him. Everyone else came to be a spectator. 37 years he sat on that pillar and everyone came just to watch what was happening on the stage, and they went home with nothing. Oh, sure, they had stories. They might have, you know, said, "Hey, Simon, pray for us." But there was nothing in it because they only remained spectators. Don't be a spectator. Don't sleep through life. When you have an opportunity to be involved with the people of God, don't put the snooze button on. Don't say, "Well, I can be involved in church by turning on the telly at 4 o'clock this afternoon." Get up, get involved. Get physically involved, and during the week, ring someone, talk to them, go and visit them, go and shout yourself to their coffee, whatever it is. You know, just be in people's faces and enjoy the relationship that we have as Christians. Number five, this is my last top tip for Why Church. If you get seriously involved, you will develop and use the talents and the passions and the opportunities that God has given you. When I say will, that's a statement of faith. I heard Pastor John recently saying, you know, that 80% of people in church never exercise the ministry that they're given, never exercise the gift that they're given. And I think he's pretty right. I would have said about the same. You know, it's so easy. And I'm not looking at anyone. In particular, to be spectators and not use the gifts that God has given us. It was in church when I was 9 years of age and I was walking into Sunday morning service, a Baptist church up in Queensland, I felt God say, "I want you to serve me in the ministry," in the context of church. Didn't happen straight away. Didn't actually happen for years. Didn't preach my first message until 10 years later. But it's in the context of church that God will speak to you about what he's called you to do with your life. And here you'll find people who will pray with you, encourage you, correct you, help you, teach you, mold you, stand alongside you. And if we'll do that together, and if you're prepared to do that, then you will grow. It's not a competition. Get a hold of God's purpose for your life. You may say, "Well, I'm new to this." That's okay. Everyone's new to it. We attended a one-year-old, Alfie Sparks' birthday party yesterday. And we sang happy birthday to him, and I don't think he remembers. But you know, we all have to start somewhere. We start as babies. But work out what God wants you to do in the body of Christ. If you're not sure, get people to pray with you. Spend time with you. Draw out what talents and gifts and interests you have. But for goodness sake, don't try and run in somebody else's lane. It's not a competition. It's not about comparing or contrasting who does what in church and whether it's public or private or behind the scenes or up front on the stage. It's not what it's about. It's not about trying to be like someone else, but being the man, the woman God has called you to be. You'll make mistakes. You'll fall over. You might get pushed over. You might find it hard to get up again. You might find it discouraging. That happens. That's a normal part of Christian life. Ouch. Yep, those disappointments, those ups and downs are a normal part of the Christian life. And ups and downs in church can be a normal part of church life. But we here believe that God has called each one of you, each one of us, to function within the body of Christ or to serve where we are, to grow together, to take those first baby steps and to develop and grow, make mistakes. Yeah, we all make mistakes. But run the race that God's called you to run. The pastor who, when I first came to Canberra, said, come and help us. We're planting a church in Queanbeyan. We're still involved in that church. And we got involved in planting that church, and we swept out the beer cans on a Sunday morning. And he said, oh, you're leading the service next Sunday night. I said, I've never done that. He said, well, you know, it's okay. And a couple weeks later, he said, oh, can you preach next week? And I said, yeah, okay. You know, and learning by mistakes. But it was such an encouragement because he said, my prayer, my vision, he says, when someone new comes in, I say, Jesus, what is your call in that person's life? And I want you to spend time and just before the Lord saying, God, what are you calling me to? What are you equipping me to do? I see others running in the race, but what's the race that you called me to? How am I going to run that race well? And how am I going to finish well? Pray about that. Get involved. Get involved in your connect group. What a great place to experiment what it is to be the church in action. So those are five tips. Not as a doctrinal proposition, but I really want you to grasp why church matters and why it should matter to you and to me today. Jesus loves the church. It's his church. He died for it. He died for us. He rose again for us. He died so that we could be his people. You and I are the people of God. Never be ashamed of saying that. We are the people of God. Say it with me. We are the people of God. Oh, I love that. I love hearing. Can you do it again? We are the people of God here in Canberra. Yeah, not in the whole world, but here in Canberra. The last verse in the passage we read says, and the Lord, each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And just as we can, that's the way we conclude our month talking about the church. But I just want to finish up with one point that comes out of that last passage. He says that God was adding to the church every day those who were being saved. And maybe you've been to church on and off, maybe it's your first time. I don't know everyone here. And you say, well, Alan, that's fantastic, but I've never actually taken that first step to become a Christian. But today, I want to do that. There's so much I don't understand. There's so much I can't explain. But today, I want to ask Christ to come into my life. I want to begin the Christian life. And all around you in the church here, there are men, women, young people who can help you through that process. Can we just close your eyes for a second, please? It would be remiss not to give this opportunity at the end of our service today. If that is you, while no one's looking around, if that is you, and in your heart you say, I want to know Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I want to invite him to come into my heart and life. If that's you, I just want you quickly, as our eyes are closed, put up your hand, put it down again. Someone will pray with you afterwards. No one's looking around. Is that you? Can I see your hand? Anyone across the church today? So I need Jesus. I want Jesus to come into my life and I want to begin the journey as a Christian. Anyone here today? Well, God bless you, church. God bless you.